Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello there. This is Obi Sean, a.k.a. Sean Doolittle. You're listening to Nationals Talk. I'm here with Todd Dybas, and we're doing a deep dive into Star Wars.
Swing and a line drive. Base hit right field. You believe it, Howie Kendrick. Part two.
The celebration is on. The Washington Nationals are the world champions.
His bobblehead is Obi Sean Kenobi. He yielded a lightsaber in celebration throughout the World Series run. Did you really think we here at Nationals Talk were going to let a Star Wars movie go by without talking to World Series champ Sean Doolittle? Hello and welcome into a special Star Wars Rise of Skywalker edition. I'm Tim Shover. Standing by is ace nerd on the mound, Todd Dybas, as he and Sean give their thoughts on Episode 9. This will be loaded with spoilers. You have been warned now. No excuses. Spoilers on top of spoilers on top of spoilers, so I don't want to hear it. If you haven't seen the movie, it's your fault at this point. Rise of Skywalker came out this past December, $450 million and counting at the box office, and now featured here on the podcast. It's going to be Todd and Sean talking about the movie, but real quick before we get into it, Sean, just give me your favorite Star Wars movie ever.
You just said real quick and asked that question.
But I know he has the answer.
Have you met him?
But I know he's got the answer ready.
Oh, man. That's very fair, Todd. But Empire is my favorite. I think it's a lot of people's favorite, so that's not exactly a surprise. But for the newer ones that have come out, The Last Jedi, I think, was my favorite. I also really liked Rogue One. So that I'll leave it at that because you did say real quick.
We have the similar like ranking, so we're on the same page. But now, Todd, you and Sean, take it away.
Yeah, it's Empire for me, too. I'll throw that in there. When the door opens and everybody recognizes that it's Vader sitting in there and Lando had just double-crossed him and Chewie screams at him and Vader takes the gun, like that's one of the preeminent moments in all the films.
The rest of the movie is throwing 100 from that scene.
Yeah. So we will start with this. We know that, as Tim said, you're a huge Star Wars fan in general. And we even talked about this during the summer, the kind of the idea when people go to see this now, it's almost like they're predisposed to want to complain. Like they're on the hunt for complaints instead of being like, I'm going to go enjoy Star Wars and, you know, kind of take it for what it is. And you went and saw this one. And then one of the tweets you had about it was kind of that dirty look gif from Rey when she's looking back over her shoulder and you were directing at anyone who would criticize this film. So can we start with kind of like your general thoughts and point of view when you go to see this supposedly the last and button up thing of something that's been going on for 40 years and has been such a huge cultural element? And then also when you walked out, what did you think?
When I was going in to see it, I was nervous, actually, which it was a little bit different than any of the other Star Wars movies that I had gone to see in the theaters. And, you know, I was excited because it's historic in a sense. The end of the Skywalker saga. It's Episode 9. This is the culmination of, everything that Star Wars has been about. And, but at the same time, I was trying to really to go into it with an open mind. I had seen some of the criticisms and some of the negative reviews before I had gone in, but I like Star Wars, and I guess I fall into the part of the fandom that, like, I'm okay with fan service in the movies because that stuff reminds me of, you know, kind of why I fell in love with Star Wars in the first place. And I went in wanting to enjoy it, and I really did. I thought the first maybe 30 minutes or so, maybe 45 minutes of the movie had a very kind of frantic energy to it. We were bouncing around to a lot of different places, and it kind of actually reminded me of the first part of Rogue One, how we're going to some of these new places in the galaxy that we've never seen before. So even for someone who's very into Star Wars, there were a lot of new things happening, and it was all happening really quickly. It does kind of settle down, and I really, really enjoyed it. I think there are some valid criticisms to it, and I think that that's entirely fair. But at the end of the day, I spent the 2 hours of the movie on the edge of my seat, and I don't know. I loved it. I really did. It took some twists and turns, especially at the end, that I didn't expect. And, you know, shoot, there were some things that I wish had gone in some different directions, of course, but I don't know. I liked it.
I'm with you on the start. It felt like something that we saw a little later in the movie was light speed skipping, and I felt like that's how the beginning of the movie was. It was just like zip, zip, zip to a different place, and it was a little disjointed in the storytelling for me at that point. I was like, well, when are we getting our feet on the ground here and kind of going to get moving? That was not great for me, but I felt like things improved a lot in the middle for sure, and that's, I think, one of the most common criticisms you saw of the movie was kind of that the story would be disjointed, and some people had had some problems with that. But like you said, we did discover new places, new people. For me, my favorite new character is Zori Bliss. I'm interested to see if like her kind of cameo situation is enough to generate some kind of spinoff.
That's the Kerry Russell cameo.
Yeah, this is the Kerry Russell character that Poe knows and they run into when they're trying to solve the major problem of the movie of how do they get to this place where Palpatine is. And so, and there were some other new ones and some flashback ones. So is there anyone new who jumped out to you? And was there anyone flashback? Again, sorry, folks, we warned you about the spoilers, whether it was seeing...
There's no apologies.
Yes, seeing an Ewok for the first time in a long time again.
Right. Or,
you know, the new and the old, anything jump out to you?
Babu Frick, I think, is one of the... He's going to be one of the new lovable characters of Star Wars. He was the kind of the baby Yoda of this movie, if you will. And he was like a really redeeming character because, you know, there were so many plot devices throughout the movie that were... Like there was in the movie, there were a lot of MacGuffins, and there was a lot of like Deus Ex Machina, which is like, these are things that I learned after like watching the movie, but like they're plot points that only exist to like basically move the plot to the next chapter of the movie. Like when they find the knife and they're like, or the sword, and they're like, oh, well, this only has, you know, Sith writing on it that there's only like one person that we know of that could do it. So boom, we have to go to this place to see this guy. And then after that, it's like, well, now we ended up at the ruins of the Death Star, and Rey's kind of panning the horizon, trying to find the spot, using the device on the knife to pinpoint, you know, what they're after. And there's all these things that were brand new to Star Wars that were just introduced in the last episode of the saga that it's like, I can understand why people had criticisms about continuity, because you're just expecting, like, all of a sudden Rey heals the beast in the cave. I forget the name of the of whatever the heck that giant monster was that when they found themselves trapped after falling through the quicksand. The only other time that we'd seen that in the Star Wars universe was in The Mandalorian, where actually when Baby Yoda does it. And so, like, I guess that is something where people were like, wait, like, you're introducing these new things in the very last episode, and it's like all it's really doing is just helping to like further the plot, and we're just supposed to go along with it. Like, now, like, I can understand that. I can sympathize with that because we've been used to seeing things a certain way and follow a certain set of rules for so long in the Star Wars story. So some of that stuff I did find like a little bit like, I don't know, I thought it was kind of funny. But at the end of the day, it's a space opera about aliens and, you know, laser swords and magic. So, I mean, anything is possible. You just have to be willing to kind of sit back and just enjoy it. As far as, what was the second part of the question?
So you're not going to believe this. We're going to put you on pause for 2 seconds because you guys just signed Daniel Hudson.
No way! Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm confirming it now. Hang on, give me 30 seconds.
Oh my gosh. What are the terms? Do you know yet?
2-year deal.
Yeah, it looks like 2 years.
Yes! Oh my gosh.
Okay, well, that was an unexpected and interesting transition in this podcast to kind of get us back on track. Well, something you were saying before we said the Daniel Hudson stuff, I had a joke in my head as soon as you mentioned Rey healing the beast. Did these people not learn yet that every tunnel you go into in the universe is going to have some beast, windy, wormy, snaky something thing in it? Are we not aware of this yet?
What? Yeah. Oh, man, that's funny. You're right. Like, if you've followed along with the Star Wars saga, when they end up in a situation like that and they fall through the quicksand into the tunnels under the ground, and I think there was even a joke in the movie where somebody starts to say, I have a bad feeling about this.
Right.
And I think Rey cuts them off. I can't remember, but that's exactly what I was thinking, and I think that's why I like that scene so much.
Okay, so one of my gripes here is I never fully bought Kylo Ren as a bad, bad, bad guy. Like, I would, if there were rankings, obviously, I think everybody's number one seed is Vader. But to me, like, Darth Maul was interesting and kind of stylistically fun. And Kylo Ren, I was just kind of, I hoped he was going to put the mask back on. I know he had it, like, redone. I thought he might put the Vader mask on. I would be like, that would be a cool upgrade.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about him as a general universe menace in his couple movies here?
I guess I kind of had like I had a love-hate relationship with how they used this character. But there were times where like I really liked it. I liked the thought. I liked the idea of him being a bad guy or on the evil side of things at least, but also still trying to figure out like his place. Like he was a bad guy with a conscience, which and he was trying to figure out like who he was and he wrestled with that a lot in the first two movies of the sequel trilogy, and then you know, he finally in the third one he puts the mask back together. There's a fan theory online that he had to put the mask back together because they needed the mask for merchandising so that they could sell like more toys and stuff. And because
and
I guess
it's going to be a new version of the mask, right? Because it would have the red lines and the reassembled mask.
Yes. And I guess they wouldn't have had rights to just make toys with just his face, with Adam Driver's face, so that they would have, they needed a mask to put over his face. And with the new mask with the red lines in it after being put back together, it looked really cool. So you couldn't have just like a guy in a long with black long hair and a robe walking around Galaxy Edge in LA at the new theme park. Like you had to have a guy in a mask. So that's I've been down some weird rabbit holes. But I found myself in the third one, you know, as he's fighting Rey on the ruins of the Death Star with the waves crashing around him, and then Han, you know, comes out and you know, they talk and they have like a Field of Dreams moment, like, hey dad. And I found myself, you know, kind of rooting for him. But as much as I was rooting for him, you know, down the stretch of the movie, I thought some of his stuff at Exegol at the end of the movie in the caves where he's fighting the Knights of Ren, I thought, you know, some of those scenes, that was pretty bad. I didn't like the kiss. And we could probably devote another podcast episode to the Ray-Lo relationship, I guess. But I didn't think Ray needed that. I thought she deserved better as, you know, someone as a strong, like, lead character in this, as a budding Jedi herself, I thought. I didn't think she needed that. After everything that Kylo had put her and her friends through, all of a sudden he's good now and they're in love. Like, come on. I didn't need that, but I didn't like that. But
so you saw them because you're seeing them more as peers than actual love interests.
Yeah, they're like worthy adversaries.
Yeah.
I think, and you know, they were in each other's heads so much over the first two movies, and you knew that their paths were going to cross at some point, and there was going to be some sort of reckoning where they have to confront the way that they are connected. And I thought the way that they were using the Force to kind of talk to each other and see each other, I thought we were going to find out that maybe they were related on another level, a sibling relationship, perhaps. I never really saw them as love interests. I didn't think Rey would have fallen for that, put it that. Like, I thought Rey would have seen right through that and been like, no, you've been tormenting me and my friends, and all of a sudden you're good now. While I appreciate you saving me, let's pump the brakes on that. I don't know. In the moment, I was kind of like, I was like, what? I was like, what? But that's just to say that Kylo, I agree with you. I never had the same feelings of hatred for him the way that I did for the other ones, the other villains and the Emperor, or even Snoke, obviously. Mm-hmm. Darth Vader. Darth Maul was so cool because of his costume, and he was so bad with the lightsaber,
right?
Even though he kills Qui-Gon Jinn, I mean,
but that was the thing that made you think, like, how are they going to deal with that guy? Like, what? Whoa,
right?
And I never had that feeling about Kylo Ren, really.
That's a good point. That's a good point. He never quite had the ruthlessness that the other good Sith Lords have had, and maybe in the end, that's what, there was enough of the light side, there was enough of the good side of the Force left in him that he was able to, save Rey at the end. I don't know if they drew it up that way or not, but I definitely never saw him as the ruthless, villains that some of these other Sith Lords were.
So there were several kind of like throwback nods and even some of the older characters back again. And this is something like the last episode, I had some blowback for the Carrie Fisher stuff, but Carrie Fisher obviously posthumously back here again. And also Lando shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
There was the Ewok touch, which I thought was a good touch. The raising of the X-Wing fighter, I thought was fantastic to, that she ends up in Luke's X-Wing, because that plane, if you're older and like the first ones were kind of newer to you, that plane was a huge figure there, not quite Millennium Falcon status, certainly, but still a figure. So I thought that like the Ewok and the plane were good. I was in between on Lando. Carrie Fisher being there, totally fine. I thought that was fine. So where were you with kind of the older touches that were here, and what is the newest and perhaps final? I'm not buying that at all, that this is the final movie. That's a tangent. But and perhaps final installment of this series. So the older folks, what'd you think?
I loved it. That's what I kind of talked before about how one of the criticisms of this of The Rise of Skywalker was that there was too much fan service, too many callbacks to stuff from the original trilogy. But for me, like, I loved it. As a fan sitting in the audience of the theater, those were the moments in the movie that gave me goosebumps. And, seeing Leia in the movie again was she was in a bunch of the previews, but I didn't expect her to be in the movie as much as she was. And I loved that. I loved that part of it. The X-Wing. Lando, that was a little bit maybe heavier handed than some of the other subtle nods to the original trilogy, but you know, when he shows up, when we first see him and he's in the costume, he has the helmet on that's kind of covering his face. That was really, to me, was really reminiscent of the when we see him in, is it Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, Return
where
of the Jedi.
He walks,
that's exactly right.
Where he walks in and he has the helmet on and it's covering his face. So that kind of stuff, I had no problem with it. As a fan, I was like, I'm all for that stuff. You know, I thought the way they used Leia, I thought was great. The one character that I wish got more screen time was Rose Tico, who mm-hmm. was such a big part of The Last Jedi. And, you know, there's a lot of context there. She received some really disgusting criticism from Star Wars fans after The Last Jedi, and you know, even had to go as far as going underground and deleting all her social media accounts. I mean, she was getting death threats and people, it was disgusting. And it seemed like they kept her in the background on purpose when I thought she was such an important character in The Last Jedi that she deserved a bigger role here. I think she only had she only spoke like 7 words in the whole movie and was only on the screen for a couple minutes. I thought that might have been the writers and directors. It almost felt like they were kind of submitting to a lot of that toxicity and trying to appease all corners of the fan base, even the most toxic ones. And I thought she deserved to have a bigger and more impactful role.
So that's one change you would make. Is there anything else distinct to you that you would have done differently? I know Tim Chovers, who we heard from at the top of this, is mm-hmm. very irritated with the Palpatine legacy angle of all this.
Thank you for finally getting to this.
And all right, Tim, do you want to explain to Sean and everybody your level of irritation and where it's born out of?
Yeah, I hated it. I just thought, like, it zapped me out of the movie the second that the crawl came on. I just thought, really? Like, he was clearly dead. I've read things afterwards that George Lucas at the time had envisioned him as dead back in, you know, the early 80s when they shot the scene. And I saw it was really lazy. Like, you couldn't come up with another big bad. I just thought, I really hated it. And also, you know, you talked about your love for Last Jedi, Sean. He totally, Abrams, I thought, threw away Rian Johnson's retconning on how the democratization of the Force and how you don't have to really be someone from the Skywalkers or the Palpatine to feel the Force. So I hated all of that.
I'm with you, and I alluded earlier to some of these kind of divisive plot points that, you know, kind of pop up out of nowhere just to, like, further the story with no context or backstory to any of these things. And I think that's the biggest one is the Emperor still being alive and coming back for this. And, you know, you're just supposed to, in the beginning of the movie, it's almost like that overshadows a lot of the stuff that happens in the first part of the movie when you read the opening crawl and that you realize that Palpatine is still alive. There was like a lot of me that was like, wait, like how though? Like I'm okay with him being alive again if you give me a little bit more of the context and the backstory as to how he's still alive. How did he survive? What's this machine that he's hooked up to? Give me a little bit more of how he used Snoke. I read that the original script was for the Rise of Skywalker was so long that they had considered making it 2 movies. They thought they had enough material to make 2 full-length movies and give the proper context for a lot of these things. And I can't believe they didn't do it, knowing how passionate the Star Wars fan base is. That seems like it would be something Disney would have no problem with, right? You get 2 more movies out of the saga, and that's 2 more, you know, box office and you know, revenue streams that you get to capitalize on. So I would have gladly waited, you know, for 2 more movies, or maybe you release one in December of 2019 and then you release the next one in December of 2021 or something like that, just to make sure that we flush out all these things. Like, one of the most legendary, you know, evil characters in the franchise is alive again, and we're just supposed to accept that at face value like I said, I'm okay with him being alive if you give us a little bit more of the backstory of how he's alive. And, you know, then I wanted a little bit more backstory about Rey's origins, about her early life. I thought the movie was going to be a lot more about that. And it seemed like when Kylo Ren tells her that, you know, she was a nobody and that her parents were, you know, just these regular, you know, lower class people on Jakku, that I thought we were going to get more than like a one or two line explanation in a conversation between the two of them. Given Rey and Kylo Ren's, you know, connections and the history between the two of them in the first two movies, I thought it was going to be more of the culmination of the story or a bigger part of the plot, not just something that was kind of mentioned in passing in a conversation between the two of them.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about movies where some of the biggest elements in the story are the idea that A, there's a Wookiee, and B, humans can understand him speak, and there's a little 1,000-year-old green guy who can lift things with his brain, and you run into a story mechanism where you can't find enough suspended disbelief to accept it, that means it's probably not working, because people are like, well, this isn't acceptable, but, you know, I'll take all this other stuff with zero doubt, but this part is kind of hanging out there for me. Probably an indicator you went down the wrong path, at least from a storytelling point of view, you know, as you try to think about how to map these things out. So those are my main questions for you. I have one question out a little bit related to this outside of that, but before I ask you that, in general, is there anything that we didn't cover? I'm really glad you mentioned Babu, because I think, you know, he was, you know, there's always a character like that, right? A new little discovery person that they're, or thing, or whatever, robot even, that they're able to drop in that becomes like a pop culture hit. So anything else that we didn't talk about that jumped out to you here? And I lied. I have two more questions. One of them is, do you buy for a second that this is the last movie?
The last... I think it might be the last movie in the Star Wars saga. I think we've seen just in like the months since the movie has been released, a number of these actors, Daisy Ridley and Oscar Isaac and John Boyega, have all in one way or another have said this is the end of their Star Wars run. So I think it would be tough to have another installment of the Skywalker saga. We still have The Mandalorian going, and season two is going to come out next year, and that's been absolutely incredible. I've loved every second of that. There's already talks of an Obi-Wan Kenobi series or movie that's supposed to be in the early stages of development. But I think with the success of like the one-off movies, the Star Wars stories like Rogue One and Solo, I think you'll continue to see movies and shows about some of these peripheral characters. And, you know, there's even talks of another Star Wars trilogy that has nothing to do with the Skywalkers. And Rian Johnson, the director of Last Jedi, has been rumored to be involved in that. Neither side has confirmed it. As much as I love Last Jedi, I would love for him to come back and be a part of that. You know, that was one thing that Rise of Skywalker did, was Last Jedi was already one of my favorite Star Wars movies, and the Rise of Skywalker, you know, made me, I think, appreciate it more. The direction that Rian Johnson took Luke in that movie, especially, I really, really liked it. And I thought there were times that the Rise of Skywalker played it so safe that, I wish some of the things had gone in other directions, like we had talked about. We're just supposed to accept that Rey's a Palpatine. I mean, that wasn't my favorite thing about the movie, especially the way that we found out, you know. But at the end, one of the things about Star Wars is it always kind of leaves you wanting more. There's so much in the galaxy, the creativity and the storytelling. No matter which movie that you watch, you just want more of it. It's so unique. And, you know, some people have said that the Marvel movies have ruined continuity for everybody. But you know, at the end of the day, Star Wars has always kind of had its flaws. People talked a lot about continuity in the sequel trilogy, but if you go back to the original trilogy, Luke and Leia make out in the first movie,
right.
And then in the third movie, Leia's like, "No, silly, he's my brother," and Han's like, "What?" And we're all just like, "What?" George Lucas wrote those movies like after the previous one came out. So, you know, Star Wars was released in 1977, and then he didn't write Empire Strikes Back until after that movie had been released, and he knew kind of what his budget was going to be. Harrison Ford was not signed on for all three movies originally, so that's why he gets frozen in carbonite, because they weren't sure if he was going to come back, you know, to be in the other movies. So, you know, continuity has kind of always been a little bit of a question mark, and I think that in many cases, they've used the Force to cover up some of that stuff, to kind of further the plot along without having to explain why some things happen. They can just be like, "Oh yeah, it was the Force," or like, "Where is, you know," when characters are looking for each other, Yoda's like, "Just use the Force and you'll figure it out." And it's, I don't know, but I've always loved it in spite of all of those things, and I'm excited to see what projects they have next.
I know the instant answer to me for this, and I think I've even mentioned it when we talked in the past, but I'm still waiting for a Boba Fett, Christopher Nolan-directed Boba Fett movie. So if you could grab one person, one character, one whomever, and have a spinoff, who is it? You get to pick from everybody, from the start all the way to this.
I want a Poe Dameron, Finn, buddy cop movie. I want those two guys going around the galaxy, and they were two of my favorite characters. I think after the movie came out, seeing some of the rounds they made doing the press tour, I love them even more, just because they had their own opinions on the way the movie came out and the direction they wanted it to go, because, you know, they've been living as these characters for a long time, so they've thought that their characters would have done maybe some things different, or that their characters deserved better. And, you know, I wanted so much more for Finn in this movie too, in Rise of Skywalker. He was kind of relegated to, you know, being somebody that was back on the base. You know, he did get promoted to general, but I wanted more of him. And I really want to know what he was going to say to Rey before they fell into the quicksand. Mm-hmm. There have been some speculations. J.J. Abrams alluded to the fact that he was going to tell her that he was Force sensitive, that he could use the Force a little bit and sense it. But, you know, especially after, and back to the Reylo thing, especially after, you know, Finn has done all these things, he's constantly worried about Rey's well-being. He's always looking out for her. He puts her above everyone else. And then Rey, you know, at the end of the movie, is making out with the guy, with their enemy, the guy that's been causing all these problems for them and killing all these people. And it's like, well, I think, in, you know, Finn deserved better than that. And so if there's not going to be anything between the two of them, I want Finn and Poe to go off into the galaxy and maybe start their own saga. I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, I thought that was the obvious love interest angle. That's what I thought the whole time when there was kind of a pause there. And so the last thing I have for you, and then Tim will button us up here. You mentioned you've been going to trivia. Are you embarrassing yourself? Are you embarrassing your wife? What are the outcomes when you're showing up in public?
We went to a trivia night in the town where we live here in Chicago last week. We went with a couple of my wife's cousins who are in high school, and they're big Star Wars fans too. And we finished 11th. A little bit of context here.
That's a bad war. You're like minus two war.
There were over 20 teams, so we were middle of the pack. Okay. But there were four rounds with 10 questions each, and the rounds, they got progressively harder as they went on, and we did really, really well for the first three rounds, and then the fourth round, man, I mean, it was like Jedi Master, like Jedi High Council difficulty level, and I was disappointed, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to go back to the Jedi Temple and go into the archives and make some adjustments and learn from it. So it was really fun. It was really, really fun. And, you know, I hope that's been one of, you know, kind of my favorite things is interacting with other people about Star Wars. And unfortunately, one of the worst parts about Star Wars is the kind of the toxic fandom that we've seen here over the last few years with the responses to The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. But for me, it's something that I've always loved, and I love kind of sharing that with other people.
So you're just trying to go 1-0 the next time at trivia.
Yeah, you know, it was disappointing because we stayed in the fight for so long, and at the end, we weren't able to find a way to win. Like I said, I'll be better the next time, and I learned a lot. I did learn a lot, and you know, I mean, man, the questions in the fourth round were so tough. They were like putting up images of various like spacecraft and starships, and they weren't like, they were deep cuts, man. Like these were like, who is, I'm trying to think of some of the, but like they would just put one up and it would be like a random starship from the Empire. And it was like, what is this ship called? And who is its commander? And you're like, man, I've seen the movies, but I haven't read that many of the books or the, that was the other thing too, is the movies, episodes 1-8, Rogue One, Solo, and Star Wars Rebels, the animated series, those were all in play. So if and I haven't seen Star Wars Rebels, so if the questions were coming from the show, the TV show Star Wars Rebels, I was lost. I didn't have anything for that. So that's partially my fault for not doing all of my homework, I suppose. But one thing that Rise of Skywalker has done for me, as all of the Star Wars movies have done, is it kind of re-energizes your fandom. It reignites your appreciation for Star Wars. And I've gone back. I actually have started reading a few of the Star Wars novels that are considered canon and, you know, help to fill in some of the gaps between the prequels and between Rogue One and the original trilogy. And that's been really fun. I've had so much fun watching The Mandalorian. There's so many good things about the Star Wars franchise that are out there that just because this movie wasn't everything that I wanted it to be, I still love it. And I'm excited to see what projects they come up with next.
All right. Well, that's going to do it, Sean. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm already going to invite you for a future podcast, maybe next off season, where we could just do a whole pod on the final 10 minutes on Rogue One. How does that sound?
Oh my gosh, I would love that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like one of the greatest scenes in the history of cinema. So for Sean, for Todd, thank you so much. And we'll be back with you next week on Nationals Talk Podcast.
Two little sets. He kicks, he delivers, and a swing and a fly ball left center field. Robles to his right on the run there. He's calling for it, and he makes the catch. And a Curly W's in the books. The Nationals take game one of the 2019 World Series. Sean Doolittle with a 1-2-3 bottom of the ninth inning. He retires all four men that he faces. And the Nationals on the field to celebrate a victory. Our final score, the Washington Nationals 5, the Houston Astros 4.